This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Wednesday, January 26, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air on the memorial of Saints Timothy and Titus. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Thanks so much for joining us across America on the Relevant Radio Network and the Relevant Radio app. Great to be with you this morning. Once again, on Wednesdays, I always try to remind you to pray to Saint Joseph. He is such a powerful intercessor. We always have to remember to go to Joseph, the patron of the Universal Church. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, called for today, January 26, to be a day of international prayer for peace in Ukraine as the threat rises of a Russian invasion into this Eastern European country. I want to continue to encourage all of our listeners to join us here on Relevant Radio in answering the Holy Father's call for prayer throughout the day for peace in Ukraine. We can do it especially throughout the day, and we can unite ourselves during the Divine Mercy Chaplet at 3 p.m. Central during that hour of power with the Drew Mariani Show, and of course tonight with Father Rocky and the Family Rosary Across America at 7 p.m. Central. So we all unite ourselves to the Mother of God and continue to pray for peace in Ukraine. I want to check in with my partner, Glenn Leverins. Glenn, what is the latest with this very dangerous situation in Ukraine?
Of course, John, all eyes in the world on what's going on in the border between Ukraine and Russia. The West threatening sanctions if there is an invasion. And today word coming out that even President Putin of Russia would be sanctioned personally. No exact details on what that would entail, but it would seem to, as much as the West could do, limit some financial things and possibly limit some travel opportunities for him as well. And I thought, too, as the Ukrainian leadership is kind of, for the sake of their domestic consumption, playing down the threat just a little bit, the Ukrainian people historically have had a lot to fear from Russia. Thinking of my growing up days in St. Paul, John, the next door neighbors were refugees from the Ukraine in World War II. As a matter of fact, the neighbor lady next door, her father was the mayor of a tiny village in the Ukraine that was taken over first by the Soviets in the 30s and then later by Nazi Germany. And when the Red Army was making its way back across Ukraine toward the end of the war, the Nazis let the townspeople know what was going on, and her and her family took off with the Nazis, as they were less feared than the Red Army, as a matter of fact. I thought that was fascinating to learn, actually, as an adult. But a long history and not a happy one, necessarily, between the Ukrainian people and Russia.
Absolutely. Over 14,000 people have died in the skirmishes, this war that began back in 2014. And so we continue to pray for these folks. Last night, I had a brief conversation with a neighbor who is a Ukrainian Catholic. And she said to me she so much appreciates the fact that we are praying for Ukraine, because they also have a lot of relatives back in the Ukraine. And this is affecting so many people, not just Ukraine, but possibly the entire world.
That's right. You know, we look back at the history of how different world wars have started in Europe, and it just takes a bit of a spark, and we would hope this has nothing to do with a World War III, John.
Absolutely. On a much happier and lighter note, you and I are big baseball fans. Someone that we respect very much, Big Poppy, David Ortiz, is finally in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, unless you're a Yankees fan, he's been so fun to watch through the years, those great World Series victories. And some of those series looked like he was playing wiffle ball in the backyard with such joy and such power that he conducted himself. And we all remember with a little bit of a tear in the eye that he started and was let go from the Minnesota Twins early in his career.
He was a big man with he was also a big-time player, 541 career home runs. It's great to see Big Poppy in the Hall. Check out his reaction on MLB Network when he found out he was in the Hall of Fame.
I, first of all, want to thank God, you know, for giving me the opportunity to be part of this very elite group of players. That's what pretty much every player dream of, You know, my family, the support throughout the year from my family. I mean, I don't think I would have done it, you know, without the support coming from the family.
Great to see Big Poppy invoking God, giving thanks to the Lord for the many gifts that he had. And Glenn, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa did not get in.
You know, based on stats, all these guys normally would have been automatic, but, you know, tainted by the steroid scandal.
It's too bad because especially Bonds, he never needed to do steroids. The guy was such a phenomenal natural athlete. It's just most unfortunate. That goes for Clemens and Sosa as well. Thanks so much, Glenn, as always.
Hey, sure thing, John.
First things first, we begin every hour in prayer, giving thanks to our Lord for the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death, amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of relevant radio, pray for us. Saint Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. Saint John Paul II, co-patron of relevant radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the playbook of life is from Galatians 2:20. The Apostle St. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Powerful words. The Apostle St. Paul reminds us that if we are united to the cross of Christ, if we have died to our former ways, especially to sin, if we live the grace of our baptism as a new creation in Christ, living out our faith in Christ, working deeds of love, then the love of Christ, the life of Christ lives in us, and we can truly shine the light of our Lord Jesus Christ for the world to see. We always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. You can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Now, as we've been mentioning all morning long, today we are celebrating the memorial feast of Saints Timothy and Titus. They were both disciples of the Apostle St. Paul. Who exactly were these two saints, and what can they teach us about friendship in evangelization? Joining us now with much more perspective on Saints Timothy and Titus is our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a Relevant Radio regular contributor. Good morning, Father Tyone. Thanks again for joining us. Always a joy and a blessing to be with you.
Amen. Likewise here. Great to be with you and all of our listeners today.
Father Tyone, first of all, let's take these two saints one at a time. Let's talk about St. Timothy first. Can you tell us a little bit about this saint, this companion of St. Paul, St. Timothy?
Yeah, Timothy had a Greek father and a Jewish mother named Eunice, who people might remember from Scripture. Kind of what we call like a mixed marriage back then, quote unquote. So the Jews considered him illegitimate, but it was his grandmother Lois who first became a Christian. We read about her in Scripture, and he eventually was a convert by Paul himself around the year 47 and joined in his work, as you mentioned here at the top of this piece, that he was sent out. So he was helpful in building a church at Corinth, the Corinthians, if you know that letter from St. Paul. And for 15 years, he worked with St. Paul and became one of his most trusted friends. We can tell that from Scripture, and that they worked together, they evangelized together, but he was literally sent out sometimes in his stead to bring news, again, pre-social media, pre-newspapers as we know them, and communication. So back then, your emissaries, your missionaries were even in a particular way more directly relevant than the world in which we live today because of the necessity to communicate with the Christian communities that were growing around the world. Titus was also a close friend and disciple of St. Paul's, a fellow missionary. He was Greek, we think from Antioch, although some people are not sure. He's a Gentile, and we know that Paul didn't let him be circumcised in Jerusalem, held that back from him. But also, just like Timothy and Titus, Titus also had a friendship with St. Paul in preaching the gospel. So even when there was trouble in Corinth, there was a discord there in the community, Titus would come and bring the letter of St. Paul, kind of soothe things over him and help him out setting out there. So both of them were friends with Paul. They were all friends with Jesus Christ and friends with each other. And I think we need to remember, too, that none of the apostles could have accomplished what they did without the help of others in their community, lay helpers, clergy helpers, ordained really assistants and people like that. So we know that it's an extraordinary time of growth in the church. It's a time of great sometimes confusion about the teachings, and certainly in any community sometimes there's a bit of a friction. So St. Paul definitely wanted a unity in the Christian community, as we do want today in the church. And I think Timothy and Titus are great examples for us of working together, sharing faith together, supporting the mission of the apostles and their successors, but also for all of us, I think, and realizing that we too are not called to sort of evangelize alone, that we do that with others. Even Relevant Radio is a great tool in that modern box that we have by the Holy Spirit to do that. We help each other in our virtual family, but so too Timothy and Titus, I think, can be a great, great encouragement for us, an example, but also challenge us. You know, what are we willing to do to preach the gospel and to be emissaries of Jesus in the workplace, in our schools, and in our homes, and where we live just today? That's what we're called to do.
And Father Tyone, St. Paul himself was very much of a father figure to both Timothy and Titus. We know this from Scripture. Paul called Timothy my true child in the faith. He called Titus my true child in the common faith. So we know the intimacy and the relationship, that father figure. This is part of the reason why we call priests like yourself. We call them father, because they are father figures representing God the Father in their priestly ministry. And so St. Paul was a father to these saints that we're honoring today.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. I think all of us have priests in our lives that are spiritual fathers, people that even different kinds of spiritual fathers, certainly, but every just by calling a Catholic priest father, we're already referencing the Eucharist, right? So the father feeds his children, but it, of course, the priest is ordained into Christ, not himself, and the ordained hands, and by the power of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of Mother Church, that the real presence of Jesus comes to us. Every time we call a priest father, we're actually referencing the gift of the Eucharist, which I like to remind people. So there's that aspect, and also the personal aspect. You're right. Timothy and Titus were really spiritual sons of Paul, and what a spiritual father he was. And I think, you know, we all need fathers and mothers in life, our own biological ones, but also the Lord provides us spiritual mothers and fathers. We have Holy Mother Church, of course, our mother, the Blessed Mother, and St. Joseph, you talked about, especially on Wednesdays, that you keep reminding us that we should always invoke him. But besides Mary and Joseph, we have those spiritual mothers and fathers on earth that God's given us, and they kind of help us. They mold us, they challenge us, they support us, and it's such a gift that we have those. Maybe today's, in honor of Timothy and Titus, we can think and reflect upon those people God's placed in our lives that have been our spiritual fathers, in particular because of Timothy and Titus's day on the calendar for us today.
And I think it's also a great opportunity to meditate on Scripture. Last Sunday, the Holy Father called a few years ago, he called last Sunday Word of God Sunday, in which we meditate on the importance of the Word of God. And we see a little clue of this, where this devotion, this love for Scripture comes from in 2 Timothy 3:16, where St. Paul, writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, all Scripture is inspired by God and useful for teaching, for reproving, for correcting, for instructing in justice, that the man of God may be perfect, equipped for every good work. So there is a little encouragement from St. Paul about the importance of Scripture that we see in that letter, in that second letter to Timothy.
Yeah, and today might be a good day if people want to do a little Scripture homework today. We could read the letters today of Timothy and Titus. They're not really long, and I think if you're not familiar with those letters, part of the Bible. They come up here and there in droppings on Sunday masses or maybe daily mass, but they're not very long letters. And I think yesterday we had the conversion of St. Paul. We celebrate his conversion. What a story that was. And today, the fruits of that conversion, as Timothy and Titus are his spiritual sons, his collaborators, his emissaries. But you're right, the Word of God is alive, and maybe today we can, I don't think it takes that long to read Timothy and Titus, the letters, and I think it might be at least try one of them today and see what you get from that, from the Lord. It might be a nice way to celebrate the their day today.
Father Tyone, what do you think we can learn from each one of these disciples of St. Paul, these saints that we're honoring today, St. Timothy and St. Titus?
Well, I think we're all in need of what I would call spiritual friendship, really. Friendship in Christ. There are people in our lives where, you know, once we know they love Jesus Christ and they love the Lord, and they know we are also trying to love the Lord, that's a whole different level of a relationship. It's very helpful, particularly if some people sometimes in their own families, their own marriages, they might not have that spiritual intimacy or kind of collaboration team kind of thing. But having very healthy spiritual friendships, we get that through local parishes, through prayer groups, through things like that. And I think we can learn from them really what that's about. And then they go out. So, I'm sure Titus showing up to Corinth with kind of a tough letter from Paul telling him to really be humble and get back together as one. You know, he sort of saw him like the postman. He was coming, you know, sent by Paul with this communication. And it's funny, he must have been such a loving disciple because people were attracted to, attracted to Titus's a person, his faith life, because the community responded and that kind of challenge, that crisis passed because of his leadership. So I think that's the other example for us. You know, where is Christ wanting to send us in our family, at work, or maybe just simple encounters with people throughout the day? It doesn't have to be a life-changing Corinthian moment, but you know, where's our Corinth today? I think we all have Corinths at different times of our lives. And, you know, God wants to send us like Paul sent Titus. And I think that's a good role model example for us, and not to be deterred by what he might be asking us to be, a peacemaker, a unifier, wherever we find ourselves, but bringing people to Jesus and to the gospel with a great care, with a great sincerity, and a great confidence that certainly Timothy and Titus had, that they imitated, that they received from the great of course, incredible missionary, the best missionary we ever had, probably St. Paul. So we think of that today. And I think being open to being sent, I think it's another way to kind of be open to every moment, every conversation we're in. We're kind of sent, really, by the Holy Spirit. Everything's under the providence of God. So if we live our days like that, I think they're not as difficult and not as confusing if we live inside and under the providence of God as they did.
Father Tyone, St. John Paul II, who some say is a modern-day St. Paul, bringing the gospel to all corners of the world. Before he died, he made a famous statement, it is not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others. Why is friendship so important in sharing the faith and introducing others to our faith?
Well, it's critical, right? Because that's how the gospel spreads. Number one, that's how we witness. And you're right. You know, when someone falls in love, you see someone, maybe particularly an engaged couple, or someone knows this is going to be a serious relationship for a little longer than a few dates. They want the closest people to them to meet the person they're attracted to in love. And how that happens in romantic love, it can happen in friendship, but also with Christ. If we have a friendship and a love for Jesus Christ, we're going to want others to know the peace that we receive from that deep, intimate relationship. And so the impetus is there to do that. But also on a human level, a supernatural level, we would want people that we love, or at least that we want to help, to know where we receive love. And again, every one of us, I think, wants people we love to meet people we love, hopefully to kind of network people, because the joy we receive in knowing someone, wants someone else to know. And with Christ, of course, he is love. And there's no better person we can bring someone to than him, even more than ourselves or anyone else, is to bring others to Jesus. So that's what, you know, maybe think we need to be a little more conscious of that sometimes and not be hesitant. Sometimes Catholics are hesitant to speak about Jesus very personally, and we need to be able to do that. And that's what's going to attract people to Jesus through us, and to be able to have that magnetic attraction that we have to him, that we invite someone else to experience that, at least an invitation to enter into that kind of relationship with Jesus.
You know, Father Tyone, drawing from my former sports reporting background and sports background, I love baseball. That was always my dream, was to play baseball. Instead, I ended up being a broadcaster. But the reality is that what I've seen is athletes who want to be great, who want to be great athletes in whatever sport, if they surround themselves with other great athletes, that's going to lift their game. That's going to make them better. It's going to challenge them. Could you say that that also applies to the spiritual life? If you want to grow in Christ, you want to grow in your faith, hang around others who are like-minded, who also love the Lord, who can inspire you and motivate you and really keep you going.
Well, yeah, no, you talked about, you know, the Hall of Fame at the top of the hour here today. I heard that piece. It was great. And, you know, if you had played baseball, you'd want to be around great players who are not only talented but virtuous and good in the way they do that. And you're right, it's the same thing. So we want to certainly, you know, think in our own worlds and our own, no matter how small they are, we have our Hall of Famers for people that love Christ, right? There's just people we admire, people that are good to be with, and want to make sure we prioritize spending time with them, communicating with them, helping each other. You're right, we need to sort of make sure we spend time with people that inspire us in our faith. And there are people just by being with us, and challenge everybody today, including myself, you know, who's our Hall of Famers in the spiritual life? Certainly we have the saints in heaven, but there's people, ordinary people in our lives right now on earth that just help us. We're with them, and right away we just filled with some Jesus when we're around them or with them. And we need to make sure we spend time with them so that we can stay strong ourselves. And that's what Timothy and Titus and Paul did. They were certainly leaning on each other. And I'm sure when they met, they had stories to tell about faith experiences. And that's what we need to do, too, is imitate those in the sports world and bring that over to our supernatural life and to certainly practice the good practices, right? Good practices is spending time with those people that are in the spiritual world, good like the people in sports. Again, not just the best records, but the best hearts. And so, you know, some baseball players are very generous and they do outreach to the poor and they're good family members and they're good at friendship. And that's as important as the batting average. And it's same too as with us, I think. So we need to make a great parallel there and take the challenge, I would say.
I'm so glad that you saw that connection, Father Tyone, something that I have talked about over the years. We literally have a spiritual hall of fame in St. Paul and all the great saints, and today we're honoring a couple of other hall of famers in Saints Timothy and Titus. And so we have many great examples, and our goal is to try to imitate the same type of zeal that those guys had. And so I appreciate your perspective, your insights on this day, honoring St. Timothy and St. Titus. Thanks so much, Father Tyone.
All right. Blessed day to all.
Our spiritual director today, Father Marcel Tyone, the pastor of St. Thomas More Catholic Parish in Narragansett, Rhode Island, and a Relevant Radio regular contributor. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, Professor Harry Kramer is going to be with us to explain why making your bed is an important part of a morning routine and a great way to start your day. Did you make your bed this morning is the question of the day. Well, we're going to talk about it. This is going to be fun. Stay tuned. There's much more to come straight ahead as Morning Air continues after this short timeout. Today's programming sponsored in part by St. Gregory Recovery Center. More information about their Catholic-centered recovery from substance abuse is available at relevantradio.com/stgregory.
You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Morning life. Good morning, sun. How are you, skies above? Gee, it's great to be alive and in love. Good morning, life. Good morning, birds.
You gotta love it. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. I know somebody that's enjoying life this morning. We're talking about my producer Mariano Gomez across the glass from me this morning. First of all, I just want to say happy birthday, Mariano.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
You are no longer a rookie. You are now a veteran of Relevant Radio. This is what, your third year?
Yep, third year. I guess if 3 years considers me a veteran, I guess.
There you go. Yes, you're no longer a rookie anymore. Hey, happy birthday. I hope you have a fantastic day. How are you going to enjoy it?
Thank you. Well, I'm not sure just yet. I'm probably just probably have some pizza tonight. That's about it.
If you don't mind me asking, how many years old are you today?
Oof. That's thanks, Glenn. 27 years today.
Wow. You are in your prime, my friend.
Thanks. I'll try to think about it that way.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for everything that you do. You do it quietly, invisibly, behind the scenes, but so much appreciated all the help to put this show together each and every day.
Thanks again,
and happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
All right. Mariano Gomez, our Relevant Radio Morning Air producer. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Did you know that making your bed is a simple task, but it sets the tone for the rest of your day? Yes, we're talking about making your bed. There's some important reasons to make your bed every morning, and talking about mornings, it's also important to have a morning routine. It's always a good way to start your day. I know I never start the day without taking a moment in prayer in front of the crucifix with my morning offering early before 4 in the morning. Joining us now for much more perspective on the importance of making your bed and morning routines is our regular contributor, Professor Harry Kramer. Harry is a professor of management and strategy at Northwestern University's Kellogg School of Management and an executive partner with Madison Dearborn Partners, one of the largest private equity firms in the U.S. Professor Harry, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us once again. Great to be with you.
Great to be with you. And oh my goodness, absolutely. Happy birthday to Mariano. Happy birthday to him. Wow.
He is the big boy. He is no longer a rookie anymore. Professor, you know, I thought of you this morning. In fact, I whispered to my wife, please make sure you make the bed. I got to account to Professor Harry on the show this morning because we're going to be talking about this. You know, I get up so early that she's actually still in bed. So it's for me, I have a good excuse. I can't make the bed because she's in it.
Well, you know, I think when you talk about that, it's just sort of analogy. You know, some people, hey, they're rushing out. But this whole concept of, you know, many of us get up in the morning and it's like, oh my goodness, John, there's like 10,000 things to do. Let's just get moving. And I think this whole idea of making your bed, both in reality and thinking about what really, really matters today. How do I separate out the urgent from the important? How do I separate out activity from productivity? Because there's like a blizzard of things. I got to check my email. I got to check my texts. I got to feed the children. I got to get in the car. And this whole idea of, okay, how about just taking a minute to figure out what really, really does matter? What maybe does God really want me to do today? And I think some people say, well, I don't have the time. And I would argue, you don't have the time not to take the time to figure out what you're going to do today.
So the big question that we're going to really dive into here this morning is, why is it a good idea to make your bed every day? And also, does it matter how you make your bed? You want the bed to look really, really nice, or you want to just slap it together?
Well, you know, very often, I think I've got the same problem that you do. I get up and Julie's still in bed. So do whatever you do, John, I would say do it really quietly or you could run into a big problem. And having been married now for 41 years, I would say I try to make my side very quietly, somewhat neatly, but making sure that, you know, I'm doing the right thing by her as well. So I really do believe that very, very often I have seen people, they will get up, they'll grab a cup of coffee, and they start literally making this enormous list of everything I need to do today. And they're checking stuff off. I'm sure you've done this. You're checking stuff off. And then you realize the most important things are still on the list. And I think a lot of that is because, oh, I'm just going to pick off all these easy ones. Yeah, but what's really most important? What really are the priorities? And I think if you really aren't taking the time to figure out the difference between what really matters and, oh yeah, I can check that off and make it look good, I don't think you're going to have the kind of day you want to have, John.
Professor, let me just share with you something that I do every single morning, because I'm up before 4 in the morning and it's still dark. I turn off the iPhone alarm and I head over to the crucifix on the wall in our bedroom, and I just take a brief moment. It doesn't take long to do the morning offering. And for me, this is my way of giving thanks and setting the tone for the day and letting the Lord know that I'm thinking about him. First thing, even if I'm half asleep, at least I'm doing that morning offering. And this is obviously before any bed is made, any coffee is brewed. I want to do first things first. Just give thanks for many blessings and, unite ourselves in prayer to the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world and invoke our Blessed Mother as we do in the traditional morning offering prayer.
I think it's fantastic, John. I think it's fantastic. And again, I'm sensitive to the fact that a lot of our listeners, people operate in very, very different ways. You know, some people get up at 4 in the morning like you do. I'm not quite sure how you do that.
By the grace of God. Let me tell you, it's by the grace of God. I tell my wife, the grace of God works great during the week. For some reason, on the weekends, it doesn't work as good.
Well, between the two of us, John, we've almost got the 24 hours covered, because I literally start the day slightly different than you do, because very rarely, John, very rarely do I go to bed before 1 in the morning, because by the time the kids get down, get all the things squared away and everything else, and I actually sort of begin the day, okay, close to 1 in the morning. And the way I think about it, and I've mentioned this to you before, I start the day by thinking about, okay, what did I say I was going to do today? What did I actually do? What am I proud of? What am I not proud of? If I lived today over again, what would I do differently? And what will God ask me to do tomorrow? And then I'll literally say a prayer, make a little list, think about it through a little bit of self-thought, and say, okay, God, what we want? And then when I go to bed, I'm very peaceful, because when I get up in the morning, I'm not as alert as you are, but I've already got my list. I've already known what God would like me to do.
It's a beautiful thing. So it's kind of bookends. You start setting the tone with prayer, and at the end of the day, you reflect on the blessings and the things that the Lord is asking you to do. It's a great, great habit, Professor.
Well, and it's great, because as we always think about, many, many of us can very get trapped in a lot of worry, fear, anxiety, pressure, stress. There's a lot going on in people's lives, whether, you know, people could be unemployed or underemployed, and literally just thanking God, you know what, I'm going to make the best of the day. I'm going to try to do what you asked me to do, and nothing is going to go well. I have friends, like I'm sure you do, where there's like a million issues going on, and it's really, really easy to get down. Well, no. Jesus literally died on a cross for us. These are all tests. This is all very, very temporary. I'm really focused on preparing myself for eternity. So whatever happens, I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it, because that's what he expects me to do. And I'll usually repeat again when I start the day. There's two things I'll try to do, John. There's two things I'll try to do today. One, I'll try to do the right thing. I'll try to do the best I can do. I'll try to do the right thing. I'll do the best I can do. And when I say do the right thing, I better surround myself with some really, really good values people that'll help me figure out what the right thing to do is.
That sounds like a great philosophy to live by. I want to dive back into the question of why it's important to make your bed. But Professor Harry, we need to take a short break. I also want to invite our listeners, and I want to make sure that our listeners can be part of the conversation. So please don't wait till the very end, because oftentimes we run out of time. We can't get you on the show because you call too late. If you want to share your own experience of why you think it's important to make your bed first thing in the morning and to have this be part of your morning routine, or perhaps you have another question or perspective or comment for Professor Harry Kramer, give us a call, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. So we'll take a short break. We'll be right back as we continue our conversation with Professor Harry Kramer. Stay with us. Much more to come on the other side.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us this morning as we are continuing our uplifting conversation about making your bed first thing in the morning, the importance of it, and a morning routine. We're chatting with our good friend, Professor Harry Kramer, Professor of Management and Strategy at Kellogg School of Management. Welcome back, Professor Harry.
Great to be with you, John. Great to be with you.
Professor, one of the big questions that comes to mind that I'm sure a lot of people think about when it comes to whether I make my bed or I don't is, what do you say to people who say, does it really matter if I make my bed since I'm going to have to jump back in it and mess it up later on in the evening? I know there's people who actually think like this, like, what's the point of taking the time? But I know there really are some really good reasons to do that.
Well, here's the way I think about it, John. I have four words that I always mention to the students at Northwestern and Kellogg in my classes. I always say, if you're really going to live a values-driven life, number one, you have to be disciplined. Number two, you have to stay focused. Number three, you want to do it consistently. And then number four, you suddenly develop a certain amount of credibility. So, yeah, I could get up. I could not make the bed. I could run around like crazy. Or you know what? I'll do it once in a while. No. You know what? I'm going to be disciplined because I think Jesus was disciplined. He's asked us to be disciplined. He's asked us to pray. So if I can do it and I can focus on it, and if I do it consistently, well, I'll do it 5 out of 7 days. I'll do it 4. You know what? If it's really important, you do it. You do it. And I think that discipline, focus, consistency, credibility. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, John, that it's like some Catholics will say, oh, yeah, no. I take my faith seriously, and I know I ought to go to church at least once a week, if not more, but I'm going to go every Sunday. Well, you know, this Sunday, you know, there's a football game, or this Sunday, there's a whatever. You know what? I've always said to myself, I am never, ever going to miss a Sunday, because at the end of the day, you know, I want to be disciplined, focused, consistent, credible. And I think it starts the same way when you get up in the morning. Oh, I'll make it tomorrow. Well, you're not going to make it tomorrow because you haven't gotten into the pattern, the focus, the habit. And I know you're a big sports guy, John. I mean, that's what athletes do as well. That discipline, focus, consistency, credibility, I think has an enormous impact on how you live your life.
Without a doubt. And not to mention, it just makes you feel better. I think it creates a better environment to have a nice room with the bed made. Maybe it takes away a little bit of stress if you can just take the moment to do it. And I mean, it doesn't have to be absolutely perfect. You know, for those of us who may have some military training, making the square corners and all that, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just take the time to do it. Rosa is joining us this morning to talk about this topic, something we haven't never talked about here on the show, the importance of making your bed. Rosa from Round Rock, Texas, Lone Star State. Rosa, welcome aboard. You're on with Professor Harry Kramer.
Rosa?
It sounds like Rosa might be making her bed while she's getting ready to join us. Okay, we'll go to Reyna in Florida, Sunshine State. Reyna, welcome to Morning Air. You're on with Professor Harry.
Yes. Well, I was trained as a child to make my bed as soon as I got up. So here at 78, I'm still doing it. And then after I get up, make my bed, I go to my chair in the living room. I have my Bible open, and then I pray the Lord's Prayer, Hail Mary, and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and fill me for the day. And that's the way I start my day. And after I read my scriptures, I read 5 Psalms every day and 1 Proverb. So I go through the whole book of Psalms and Proverbs once a month.
Wow.
After that,
wow.
Then I pray for people that I know need prayer on the prayer list from church. And so that starts my day. And I'm 78 and I'm still doing it. Praise God.
Wow, that's absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. What a really, really great example. The fact that you've done that since you were a child and now you're 78. And well, so you're just touching middle age, Raina. So hopefully you got another 78. And I'm sure since, I don't know, John, what it's like up north, but in Chicago today, I think it's 1 degree. So doing it in Florida is a nice place to be, Raina. Nice place to be. God bless you.
Yeah, right. It's overcast. Probably 63, and that's okay, because when I was raising our daughter, and we have so much sunshine, and I would say to her, oh, good, it's like an oatmeal day when it was overcast or foggy, you know. I made it kind of neat. It was an oatmeal day. And I'm originally from LaPorte, Indiana, and so I know how many dreary days, snowy days, frosty days that we had.
I think it's about 60 degrees warmer where you are than Chicago. So God bless you.
God bless you, Raina. Thanks so much for sharing. What a great example, Professor. You know, I am very encouraged by the words of the founder of Opus Dei, St. Jose Maria Escriba, who wrote, conquer yourself each day from the very first moment getting up on the dot. Set a set time without granting a single minute to laziness. If with the help of God you conquer yourself in that moment, you've accomplished a great deal for the rest of the day. I think that is a great perspective. That very first moment, you can set the tone for the whole day.
That's fantastic. And as you said, it just so rings with me in terms of discipline, focus, consistency, credibility. It's all there. It's all there. And starting it from that moment up has an enormous impact on, I think, what occurs in your relationship with God.
It's so easy to get overwhelmed with so many things that one needs to do first thing in the morning. And like you said, some people start making lists of all the things they have to do. But I think if you do first things first, put the Lord number one, everything else will fall into place. Even if it's just a few moments, couple of minutes in prayer, perhaps reading a passage out of Scripture. If you can't make it to daily Mass, I think that's the next best thing.
I think you're absolutely right, John. No, and it's so easy if you're not disciplined to say, oh, I'd like to do that, but I don't have time. You know, you hear this all the time. I don't have time. And I'm always remind people when you say, wait a minute, no, you got time. You got 24 hours in a day. It's not a question of whether you got the time. The question in my mind is it a priority? Does it really matter? Does it really matter? And I think thinking through what first comes first. And the reason I think, my friend, is that this whole issue of prioritization and thinking through first becomes important is because very, very often people start running around and they'll say, oh, I don't have enough time. Well, the reason you don't have enough time is that you haven't really prioritized what truly does matter. What is God asking you to do? What you said, what first things first? Absolutely.
What if somebody is a night owl? They're not part of the 5 a.m. club.
Well, I'm probably a good person. Is a good example of that, John. I'm less of a morning person, except I've sort of convinced myself. For me, the morning starts right at midnight, and I ask myself, what am I going to do tomorrow? What really is going to matter? How am I going to live my life? And if you're wired up that way, you know, God wires up everybody differently. But the thought is, you don't wake up without having thought through either, as you said, at 4 a.m., getting in front of the crucifix and getting started, or right before you go to bed, and say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to be sleepy in the morning. I'm not somebody who's awake that much. Well, guess what? I'll do it before I go to bed. I'll think about it now. I'll get my list together. I'll be all prepared so that when I do get up and I'm not moving as fast as John Morales, I'm still fine. So thinking through how am I wired? How can I be the best I can be?
Great philosophy, a great way to approach your day. A final thought, we have about 15 seconds.
I really do believe thinking through what we're talking about and really asking yourself, what could I do to be a better person? What could I do to be a better father, a better mother, a better spouse, a better friend? And to the extent that this is something that I am blessed and pretty good at. How can I help some other people? Could I help my spouse with this? Could I help my children with this? My neighbors? And really doing it in a way where you really care.
Excellent advice. We'll have to leave it right there. Professor Harry Kramer, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. And once again, happy birthday, Mariano.
Absolutely. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today is called Turning the Other Cheek. Julio Diaz has a daily routine. Every night, the 31-year-old social worker ends his hour-long subway commute to the Bronx, one stop early, just so he can eat at his favorite diner. But one night last month, as Diaz stepped off the number 6 train and onto a nearly empty platform, his evening took an unexpected turn. He was walking toward the stairs when a teenage boy approached and pulled out a knife. "He wants my money, so I just gave him my wallet and told him, 'Here you go,' said Diaz. As the teen began to walk away, Diaz told him, 'Hey, wait a minute, you forgot something. If you're going to be robbing people for the rest of the night, you might as well take my coat to keep you warm.' The would-be robber looked at his would-be victim like, 'What's going on here?' Diaz says. He asked me, 'Why are you doing this?' Diaz replied, 'If you're willing to risk your freedom for a few dollars, then I guess you must really need the money. I mean, all I wanted to do was get dinner. And if you really want to join me, hey, you're more than welcome.' 'You know, I felt,' says Diaz, 'that maybe he just needed some help.' Diaz then says he and the teen went into the diner and sat in a booth. The manager came by, the dishwashers came by, the waiters came by to say hi, said Diaz. The kid was like, 'Well, you know everybody here. Do you own this place?' 'No, I just eat here a lot,' says Diaz. He says, 'But the kid said you're even nice to the dishwasher.' Diaz replied, 'Well, haven't you been taught that you should be nice to everybody?' 'Yeah,' said the kid, 'but I didn't think people actually behave that way.' Diaz asked him what he wanted out of life. And then he said, well, he almost had his sad face. He couldn't answer, or he didn't want to. When the bill arrived, Diaz told the teen, 'Look, I guess you're going to have to pay for the bill because you have my money and I can't pay for this. So if you give me my wallet back, I'll gladly treat you.' The teen didn't even think about it and returned the wallet, says Diaz. 'I gave him $20. I figure maybe it'll help him. I don't know.' Diaz then said he asked for something in return, the teen's knife, and he gave it to me. Afterwards, when Diaz told his mother what happened, she said, 'You're the type of kid that if someone asked you for the time, you'd give them your watch. I figure, you know, that if you treat people right, you can only hope that they treat you right. It's as simple as it gets in this complicated world.'" From Matthew 5, Jesus said to his disciples, "You've heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2. Give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the one who wants to borrow."
Thanks so much, Glenn. Once again, happy birthday to our producer of Morning Air, Mariano Gomez. Let your light shine before all. We'll see you tomorrow.